Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When a man or woman believes in Christ, many deep-seated desires change. We become givers rather than takers, and God wants us to see our money as a trust to manage, not a possession to squander. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series on the joy of generosity, Dr. Lutzer turns our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Today, he concludes a message on Christ, the Lord of our finances. We're learning about the man who tries to give money to God without giving himself first.
See, what's going on in the back of his mind is, how little am I able to give and still look good? How little am I able to get by with and God still think that I'm a good Christian? What is the bottom line? And by that he means really the bottom line. He misses the whole point. What if after Rebecca and I were married in our honeymoon, I were to say, now, how many times was I supposed to kiss you anyway? What was the number that we agreed on? And she's sitting up here today probably saying, yeah, what was the number we agreed on? If you love somebody, that's not the issue. You don't stand and say, well, you know, how little can I get by with? What can I do to make myself look good? What few dollars can I give onto the offering plate today? That has nothing to do with the issue. Once you have given yourself to God and you've surrendered yourself to Him, the issue is, God, I'm giving this money, but oh, I wish I could give more. And if you bless me more, I will give more because you've got my heart. That's the whole point. And that was for emphasis when I hit the microphone. When I talk about money, I can get excited here. What I'm going to do today in my message is to call all of us to a higher standard, to a higher standard. And I'm going to give you a challenge as well as a challenge to myself to begin to give 10% of our income to God and to His work. I know there are some of you who are saying, yes, but you know, that's Old Testament. Now you're going to take the Old Testament law and you're going to lay it on us. No, that's not the issue at all. 10% is a good benchmark. It's a good percentage to begin with in order to become generous in our giving to God. When the Apostle Paul wanted to use an example, he not only used the churches in Macedonia, but I want you to notice what he says in verse 9. And he's still speaking about the grace called giving. I'll read verse 8 to see it in context. I am not speaking this as a command, and that's what I want to say to you today. We're not commanding this. It's nothing that we are demanding. But as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Paul is saying this. If you need a motivation to give, if you need a reason to contribute to the Lord's work, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich in heaven. All the angels were up in heaven singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And he left all that. He came to Bethlehem. And people spit on him. They kicked him. They lied about him. They said that he was illegitimately conceived. They said that he had demons in him, that he was full of the devil, and then they crucified him. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. Did he complain all the time and say, "Heavenly Father, why in the world did you ask me to redeem these human beings because they're not worth it? Oh no, don't tell me, not another day." Is that the way in which he did it? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He was willing to do God's will, God's plan to redeem us, so that he became poor. And what does the text say? That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. The Bible says very clearly, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? The Bible says that we have all things richly to enjoy. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And here we are quibbling about whether or not we're going to be generous with the things that God has given us. I say this to you very lovingly. If you're going to cry about giving, don't give. Don't give. Don't insult God. God is not going to go bankrupt. I can assure you of that. If you're going to complain about it, if it's going to be a burden, if it's going to be a duty, if it's going to be agony, if it's going to be difficult, don't do it. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word is hilaros, and we have the word hilarious. That's what God is looking for, because he knows that money is so much a part of our hearts that when we give generously, he knows he's got our hearts. 10%. You say, well, that is Old Testament, but I want you to know that everything in the Old Testament is always elevated in the New. In the Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. New Testament, he that looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. New Testament, you hate your brother. You are already guilty of murder. Do you really think that God expects less of us today who have been recipients of such matchless, incredible grace? God expects less of us than he does of many other people? And even the Old Testament people who did not have the same benefits that we have? I don't think so. Now I want to say something about this. If you commit yourself to give 10% of your income to God, to say, Lord, I'm going to give at least 10%, as an act of faith, so that we not only give God what is left, but upfront commitment that 10% of what we earn belongs to the Almighty, I want to tell you two things that are very, very important. First of all, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested and tried. Because the first month you do this, the first week you do this, all of the bills that are coming in, all of the necessities, all of the priorities are going to break upon you, and you're the first thing you're going to do is to say, I can't afford it. I need to pay the light company. I need to pay the mortgage. These are fixed expenses, and I can only give what is left over to God, if anything is left over. And you're going to be tempted and tested to go back on your commitment. And you can accept that up front. But what if you persist? What if you say, God, you have made me a steward, and I'm going to live on 90% and not 100%, because I want to give this to you as a token of the fact that everything I have is yours. The Macedonian people gave out of their poverty. They gave out of their affliction. And I'm going to give out of mine as well. It's yours. Secondly, you can expect incredible blessing and answers to prayer. Look at what the Apostle Paul says, and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians is still about giving, and you can turn there in just a moment. In fact, do it right now. He says in verse 7 of chapter 9, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Really, if you're here today and you're reacting negatively to what I have to say so far, just relax. Relax, go home, and don't be confused about this business of giving. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that in always having all sufficiency in everything you may have abundance for every good deed. Do you think that if you're generous with God, God's going to be stingy with you? Unthinkable. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. People say, well, if I give 10%, should it be on the gross that I make or the net? Well, that's up to you. Do you want an abundant harvest or do you want a sparse harvest? Because you see, the Bible says you're sowing and you're reaping, so you can make the decision as to whether you want a big crop or a mediocre crop. He says, God is able to take your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many with thanksgiving to God. Boy, I'd say that's pretty adequate recompense for being generous with God. I have a vision for Moody Church. God has given us the privilege of being involved in the lives of about 100 missionaries, helping them support with their support all over the world. We are not a money-making institution. We are a giving institution. And we want to be generous as a church and as individuals. You remember every fall, we have a Thanksgiving offering to get caught up because of the budget slump that takes place during the summer? I'll tell you, I think about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this coming year we didn't need that offering, but we took a Thanksgiving offering for some mission project? Because as the finance committee looked at all of our budgets, they said, you know, we are just on target. The people are giving so generously. We don't need an offering to make up for a budget deficit. We are going to take an offering for the glory of God and use some missionary project and some work in another part of the world, and generously will contribute to that because God has been so incredibly good to us. I look forward to that day when I'll be able to take that kind of an offering. Now, and I ask you a question. Are you willing to trust God? You say, well, once again, you know, that's maybe there's some Old Testament that you're sneaking in here. Well, Jesus said this, "Give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour it into your lap, for whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return." I want to prove whether or not he's right or wrong. Do you want to prove whether he's right or wrong? Do you want to say, God, I don't know that I can afford this, but I'm going to give beyond my ability today. I'm not just going to spend the rest of my life buying lawnmowers. I'm going to make an investment that's going to last forever, and I'm going to prove to see whether God is as faithful as the Bible says he is.
Now, my friend, today, this is Pastor Lutzer. I want to give you a suggestion when it comes to giving. This is something that God has enabled me to learn throughout the years, and that is this. Do not give to ministries. Do not give to the church. Give your gift to God. When you give the gift to God, that will deliver you from this spirit of criticism. You see, there's some people who don't give their money to the church because they don't like the music or they don't like something else that's taking place in the church, and so they vote by refusing to give. Well, those kinds of people are thinking that way because they're giving to an institution. They're giving to a ministry. Think of how wonderful it would be if we on Sunday, as we gave, we all said, Lord, this is my gift to you. Or as I say frequently at the Moody Church, this is my gift of worship. You know, the whole tenor of the Old Testament as well as the New is the fact that God blesses us, and through our giving, we worship, and we worship Him. Do that this Sunday.
Erwin Lutzer is in a series on the joy of generosity, a study in how we use our time, talents, resources, and affections. Today's lesson was the last on Christ, the Lord of our finances. What does it mean to truly love God? Next time, Dr. Lutzer turns our attention to Christ, the Lord of our affections. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.